Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 22nd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 14, the sixth paragraph. My friend had emphasized through one paragraph ending, "With us, it is just like that." Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Deb M., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text, Yvonne A., Penny L. C., and Sherry M. The reference number for Sunday, April 24th, is 21,333. That's 21333. And for this morning, Monday, April 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,334. That's 21334. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lorraine N., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you so much to everyone for the beautiful service you are providing. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Deb M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Deb M. reading the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb M. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Star one, Joanne.
For your service, and thank you to everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I'm in Florida right now, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater working by program one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I thank you very much for the service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 14, the sixth paragraph. My friend had emphasized, through one paragraph ending with us, it is just like that. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I will now ask Yvonne A. to begin reading and then share with us.
Oh, good morning, everybody. My name is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. I'm so happy to be here with you all this morning. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again, and if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. Wow, what a privilege to get to read that paragraph. It certainly, you know, emphasizes for me the requirement for me to do step 12, to carry this program to others, to try to pass on what was so freely given to me. And, you know, he starts out talking about practicing the principles in all our affairs. And I mean, that is the beautiful thing about this program. It just somehow, with connection to our higher power, brings us into this new way of living that has us wanting to do things differently. And so those principles, like I have to live by those every single day. Honesty, integrity, humility, courage, and of course the service that he talks about there. And so we hear this line a lot, faith without works was dead. And so that's kind of it's a little bit twofold for me. Yes, it is work sometimes. Some days it seems like work to have to get out of bed early, to do that meditation when I would rather stay in bed because I didn't get quite enough sleep or whatever it is. But I get up and I do that because I know that the gifts that I get, that spiritual connection that I get, has changed my life and continues to change my life every single day. If I stop doing that work, then it's going to mean that the stopping of change and the gradual erosion of that spiritual connection that I now have and cherish with a higher power. But it isn't just the work that I do in this program. It's the work that I do outside of this program with and inside this program with others that demonstrates that change in my heart, that demonstrates my willingness to live in something different than just my own will and my own wants, and having to have everything my own way. The work that I do doesn't cause me to be abstinent. My higher power does that. My works are a result of the work that my higher power does with me. And so, through that, I want to do those things. I want to be the person that God wants me to be. I want to be of service in all of the ways that I can. And it points out in there too that this is how we survive certain trials and low points. There are definitely trials and low points. We don't get a free pass from life any different than anybody else does. And so we need to do service to others. It is amazing how doing that gets us out of ourselves. And those trials and low points all of a sudden aren't the focus anymore. They're still there, but we can take a different attitude to them. So I love this paragraph. I look forward to hearing what it means to everybody else. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Joanne.
Okay. I heard Joanne in that mix.
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L.
Bessie O.
Roz.
Okay,
Roz
Bessie.
G.
Bessie
Sherry
O.
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
And Sherry
Roz.
H. M.
Oh. Sherry H. M.
Roz G.
And Roz G.
Kara
okay,
B.
I have. Who is that?
Kara B.
Oh, Kara B.
Thank you.
Okay, let me list who I have, and then you can let me know if I missed anyone. I have Stephanie, Bessie O, Joanne, Sherry M, Sherry H M, Roz G, and Kara B. Did I miss anyone? Oh, that's amazing. All right, well, let's go with that. Pardon?
Joan Marie M.
And Joan Marie M. Very good. All right. Well, we will go with this lineup. Stephanie, please get us started. Let us know where you're calling from, followed by Bessie O.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And, yeah, there's a mad rush to check out this paragraph because it's so amazing. And, you know, I have warning written above this paragraph because they give me very clear instructions, right? It's imperative to work with others. I have to hold my hand out and help someone else, just like the woman who helped me. But wait a second, right? It says, if I don't perfect and enlarge my spiritual life, and I'm a relapse survivor. I have relapsed in this program because life got too busy and I didn't have time, you know, to take calls or to sponsor, or, you know, I became very self-important in all these gifts that, you know, my God had given me through recovery became paramount to everything else. And it tells me here that like, this is a one day at a time deal, right? This relationship I have, this day of execution, if you will, this freedom from the obsession is contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. It tells me if I fail to perfect and enlarge my spiritual life, and then it tells me how, through work and self-sacrifice for others. I am selfish to the core, right? Even sponsoring, like, it can't always be convenient. Like, sometimes I have to wake up at 5 a.m. so I can do my prayer and meditation to meet with a sponsee at 5:30 or 6 a.m. because it's I have to get out of the focus on me. And every time, like, you know, these certain trials and low spots when I'm feeling down or something happens and, you know, my dog passed away or someone I love has been given a difficult diagnosis, the only way for me to get out of my selfishness is to hold my hand out and help somebody else. Because when I'm helping you, I'm not thinking about me. Oh, and this amazing thing is, if I don't feel connected with God, when I help somebody else, I feel lifted up and I feel that connection come back. Even in my prayer meditation, when I pray for someone, you know, I may not feel, God, I don't feel connection with you. And then I pray for the people in my life and I feel connected. This whole thing for me is about keeping this connection with this God who is saving my life every day, you know, maintaining and enlarging, perfecting and enlarging the spiritual life through helping others. Because guess what? I know what's on the other side. I've been there. If I pick up again, I will die, right? And it tells us clearly, this paragraph gives us clear instructions, and I cannot wait to hear everybody else share on it because it's so powerful. So thank you so much for letting me share it up.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. from California. Bessie O., please share with us, followed by Joanne.
Good morning. This is Bessie O., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm so grateful to get to share on this passage this morning. It is such a powerful passage and has been just a huge part of my recovery. I have a history of relapse in OA, and I believe that, you know, there were so many things that I was willing to do. You know, I was willing to go to workshops and write and read and just love lists and assignments and things like this. But, you know, when it comes to work and self-sacrifice for others, and I would say especially in my home, that is where I chronic relapse, chronically fell short. So previously, in two paragraphs ago, we read, something has happened to you. I don't understand, but you had better hang on to it. And for me, like, hanging on to what I have, which, you know, we know that the problem is I have a disease and I'm powerless. And so I need a power. And this lays out a path, you know, to continuing to perfect and enlarge my spiritual life, my connection, my spiritual experience. And that is what is life-saving, is that relationship with my higher power. And through the steps, and, you know, following these instructions. And so for me, like, one thing, absolutely, you know, couldn't agree more with the, you know, absolute necessity, working with others, finding other people to help. But for me, like, getting up and just simply unloading the dishwasher, you know, like, just doing the things that are laid out in front of me that I don't always want to do, you know, for people that that I've been paired with in life. And that is, it's those things that are so essential. I can get so inwardly focused in program, out of program, before program, in my work, in my all my relationships, inwardly focused. You know, let me just figure out the right formula here. But, like, what works is getting outside of myself And that's where, like, who can I help? And I'm so grateful for fellows, you know, just like seeking and surrounding and being surrounded by, you know, people who are doing this, walking this path, living this, because what speaks volumes is what we do, you know, what our feet are doing, not what words are coming out of my mouth. So anyway, I'm going to pass with that. Thank you so much for hearing my voice. I'll pass.
Thank you, Bessie O. from Colorado. Joanne, please share with us, followed by Sherry M.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everybody. I am Joanne. I am originally from Rhode Island, and I am right now in Florida, and I am on vacation, and I am recovering compulsive overeater. And I always say when I have to do a reading, I am working on my addiction one day at a time, and I am working on my recovery, meaning that I've had other addictions and that I recovered from 31 years ago, and now it's time with the food, and I am going through a process with my sponsor, and so that's why I say I am recovering, because I'm willing to now go through it with the food. And it's been just a miracle, because for the longest time, I did not want to do this. I did not want to commit my food. I did not want to get a food sponsor. I did not want to write it down, but I am today. So praise God. The other thing is, here in Florida, it's been just a gift. I'm just here to visit for 2 weeks, and it's been so peaceful. And I have to tell you, even flying in, you know, I can help others, and the reader said this, you do not just have to help others in program, you can help others outside of program, and but I do as much as I can with people in program as well, even though I'm still recovering, because I've been in program for 31 years. So anyways, I was able to help. Like when I was at the airport, there were a couple people that needed help. I was able to help them, and I was so grateful for that. Now, I forgot my big book of Alcoholics Anonymous at my house in Rhode Island. So last night I knew that I had to read, and I did bring my readings for A Vision for You, but I wanted the book. I needed the book. And I happened to reach out to a woman, and I said to her, and I don't really know her. She's at the condo next to me. And I said, do you happen to know of anybody who might have a book of Alcoholics Anonymous? Right away, oh my gosh, it was God that helped me, because she said, absolutely. So this gentleman that she introduced me to, who let me borrow his big book, he actually shook the hand, who shook the hand of Bill W's, and that was his sponsor. And so it was exciting. The three of us were in a little meeting last night just talking about our miracles and, you know, how far we have come. So, you know, faith without works is dead. Absolutely. I can have all the faith in the whole wide world and pray and go to church, but, you know, if I'm not using, you know, what God has given me, which is, you know, a lot of my talents I have, and helping others, just plain old helping others. I look for people. Thank you. I look for people to help, and I'm just so forever grateful. So thank you so much, Dawn.
Oh, thank you, Joanne L. from now from Florida, used to be from Rhode Island. Sherry M., please share with us, followed by Sherry H.M.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Dawn. My name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered today in Wyoming. And thank you, Kim G., for one of her special editions, because she pointed out to me that the word work is in this paragraph, this small paragraph. So I circled work, work, worked, work, work. I hadn't noticed that before. And as we know, Bill did not like to use the same word over and over. He was a wordsmith. So that is not lost on me. Yes, like somebody else said, I have warning exclamation mark here. But working, engaging in physical or mental activity in order to achieve a purpose or result, it's something I have to do. It's labor, it's exertion. I have to, put effort into this. So my purpose, I was given a gift of being recovered. My purpose in life now, because that gift is something that I have some requirements for. So, it's me saying, God, what would you have me do today? And how can I pass on this gift to others? That's the number one priority in my life. And when I make the gifts of life that have been given to me as a result of being recovered, when I make those the priority, then I lose the very thing that's allowing me to have those gifts. And do I have experience with relapse? Absolutely. I have experience with not conceding to my innermost self. I have experience with putting other things in front of program. And so I just wanted to give a little example of like practicality. Like, what does this look like to work in one paragraph, or I'm going to die. By the way, the biggest warning is I'm going to die if I don't do this. So I don't do all the things I do because I'm trying to get an A+ or because pat on the back, look at me. It's because I have no choice and I have been leveled by this disease. And I do not want to live from now until the end, stuffing my face with food and not being able to have any life at all. So if I travel, if I go out of the country, what does that look like? I've already contacted, facilities at places that I'm going to be staying to let them know that I have a special dietary need. Yeah, and that's fine. And I'm checking to see if that's okay. Yes, it is. Okay, great. Wherever I go, we just took a road trip to California, getting up at 3 a.m. in the morning to chop vegetables and to pack everything and weigh it all out and put it so I have enough food for a 15-hour drive. Yes, that is that's work. That is crazy work. But it's all, if I do all those other things, then God performs miracles on a daily basis. And what I have found is that this is not work anymore. This is pleasure. Everything I do, from picking up the phone to working with others to working with my sponsor to being on the line to doing service, it's because it's a big gift. And I love every minute of it. And I wouldn't change a thing. And I know because of this paragraph and the rest of the book that if I let go of this and what is required and I forget to put first things first, I am doomed. I have a permanent progressive fatal disease. I must be enlarging my spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice. And if I do not, then the disease is just getting bigger and bigger. It's a sniper in the bush that's waiting to take me out at all times. And I pass. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Oh, thank you, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Sherry H.M., please share with us, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. This is the Sherry Club. I'm Sherry H.M. with Sherry with a C from Washington State. So gratefully recovered by God's grace and mercy one day at a time. And this is such a paragraph that speaks of action, action, action. I can't rest on my laurels if I want to be out of the food. And I can't rest on my laurels or I will die, because it tells us here, if you don't share with others that we actually, we will die. Someone else alluded to, so Bill was taking a writing course, and those of us who've taken lots of writing courses know that one of the goals is you can't be repeating words frequently. You're trying to find a new way of saying everything. So he chose the word principles. So that's what he did. Whenever he says principles or actions, he's talking about the steps. And the steps are such a beautiful, beautiful gift, as we know. I also love the part that it says working the principles in all our affairs. Because I've got to do that. I have to do that, because otherwise my days will not, go right. I'll be focused on self, me, instead of, the whole deal about, okay, what it says later in our program, what would God have me be? So I'm so grateful for this. It's so clear that it's a program of action. And I love how the previous caller said, you know, work, 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 work. It is. If I don't do the work, I will rest on my laurels and then I'll be in another affair with my refrigerator. And I feel so free of that. I've been free of that for many years now. And I'm just so grateful. So thank you so much for leading this meeting, and everybody have a great day practicing the principles in all your affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 14, talking about that sixth paragraph that starts with, my friend had emphasized, through one paragraph ending with us, it is just like that. So Roz G., please share with us, followed by Kara B.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the city of Palmdale, which is in Los Angeles County. I thank you and I thank God for my recovery. So yesterday, this has to do with the paragraph. Yesterday, my son asked me to speak with him, and I was in the middle of doing something, and he wanted me to drop everything and sit down and have a 15 or 20 hour conversation with him that I wasn't prepared to do. And so it got me resentful. And I said, I don't have time, but we can make up a time. And so he said, it's going to take longer. So he left the room. And what did I do? I practiced the principles in my affairs. I bowed my head and I asked God to please help me to have patience, to not use my tongue, to say, what do you expect me to do? And to simply say, I love you, son. I'll see you later. Let me tell you, I did not want to do that. I wanted to go off on him, but I didn't, because I am practicing the principles of the steps 6 and 7, my character defects of it being impulsive, of being cruel with my tongue. I didn't do it. And how does this happen? Through perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life, as I have heard on the shares this morning. I get up super early to talk to God, to ask the Holy Spirit to fill me before I speak, because I will hurt someone with my tongue if I don't do that. And it is fantasy if I'm thinking about doing these things and not doing them. So yeah, I get up super early. And yeah, I work with others. And yeah, I call a sponsor and I ask for help. And yeah, I spend a lot of time chopping up fruits and vegetables and weighing them out on a scale so that I can have a healthy body to practice, you know, to do the step 3 to show how this works. I can't survive the trials, and you know, my son, my kids, my parents are elderly, my work situations in my life that I wish were different. I can't change those without asking God's help, without practicing the principles in all my affairs. I can't do it. So I want to thank God for my recovery and for this meeting. And this paragraph is very, very powerful and living in reality. Thank you, Ata.
Thank you, Roz G. Kara B., please share with us, followed by Joan Marie, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Thank you so much. Hi, friends. I'm Kara B., calling from Michigan. And I so much appreciate this jam-packed paragraph full of wonderful, beautiful truths. When it talks about how we need to practice these principles in all these affairs. If we don't work, we're going to surely drink again. If we drink, we're going to surely die. Or in my case, I will compulsively overeat. And as was pointed out earlier, this is a progressive and fatal disease. It's not as obvious as other ones, but it is surely progressive and fatal. And there were times in my recovery when I have gotten resentful about all the work that and the time that it took to be able to maintain my recovery. But I really appreciate the perspective that God gave me once in my prayer meditation. He compared it to dialysis. I have some sweet friends that have to undergo dialysis because their kidneys don't work, and it takes multiple hours, and it's not fun for them, but they do that in order to stay alive. And in order for me to stay alive, I have to do my soul dialysis, where every morning I need to get up and I spend about 3 hours a day doing the things that will help me to stay sane and focused and connected with God. And if I don't do it, it's only for me. I found I can't go more than maybe 2 days tops without doing that before I guarantee it will fall, because my disease is just that powerful. But if I connect with God, if I do those things, if I do the work that God is directing me to do, then I can survive the certain trials and low spots, which guaranteed come. Life just happens and craziness happens. And when I am in fit spiritual condition by doing those things that connect me with God and connect me with fellows and that connect me with truth, I can be okay, which is such a huge gift. So many times when I'm directed to do things, my knee-jerk reaction is I have no time. But God specializes in the impossible. And then the third alternative, and when I ask him, please show me how, please show me what I can do, he shows me what I can move and what I can drop. And then I'm able to do the things that need to happen in order for me to be okay and to be able to be of service to my fellows and to God. And I think my last point is that the hardest place to practice these principles in my affairs is with my own family and my own home. And I'm so grateful that I have daily opportunities to practice these principles in all my affairs, because I need the practice for sure. Anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for sharing. I appreciate it. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara B. from Michigan. Joan Marie, please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning. This is Joan Marie from Nevada, recovered by the grace and power of God. And I love the shares today. Oh, my God, they're so powerful. And when I hear the word higher power, that is God. Oh, my God, my heart just leaps. So anyway, what I got from this so much and all the shares, oh, my goodness, absolutely necessary demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. As someone said on the line, it's not just in program. It's in my life. And another person shared about prayer, praying before I speak. That's what I do when I speak. I pray because my words, I want them to be aligned with what God's heart would say to people. Demonstrating these principles. Someone said the steps are the principles, and I got that from that, and, you know, I knew it, but yet I didn't. And another thing is about, it's about the food, but yet it's not about the food. Because I was always looking on the outside, God turned me inside and out. My whole attitude and outlook on life has changed. The fears are disappearing, almost non-existent. That's God. That's a miracle that I can have neutrality around the food. When I was a chronic overeater and slipped up many a times, but when I finally gave in and said, okay, God, I surrender. I surrender all my alcoholic foods to you, and I will do what is directed by my sponsor. And I prayed about the sponsor, and he brought the perfect sponsor into my life. I pray about my sponsees. Bring the ones that you want me in my life. And it's imperative that I work with other people, because by doing that, I'm going through the steps over and over and over again. And I love this program. It is a lifesaver, and God is good. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. And I'm now going to take some names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. We're on page 14, the sixth paragraph, starting with my friend had emphasized and ending with us. It is just like that. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Yeah.
Was that Deb E?
Chanel T.
Oh, Chanel. Chanel T.
Natalie.
Deborah
F. And was it Natalie?
Yes. That's right.
Natalie S. And who else?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Jordan L.
And I'll take your name, Jordan, but I don't know that we'll have time for you, but we'll see. Chanel T., Natalie S., Deborah G., and Jordan L. Go ahead, Chanel T., please share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Glad to be here with everybody. What a paragraph. This is Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I get to live in recovery today purely by the grace of God. And I was just thinking, like, from a newcomer's perspective or someone coming back in, like, why do I need to hear about sponsoring? That's just the last thing on my mind. It certainly was the last thing on my mind when I came in, except my sponsor, of course. Keep sponsoring me, but I don't want to sponsor. I was terrified, absolutely terrified to work with another compulsive eater intensively. Just the very thought of that could make me almost tremble. I was so scared. And when I started sponsoring, I was terrified, but I did it anyway because my sponsor, others in this program whose recovery I want, said, sponsor or die in the food. It's imperative is what it says. It's imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Ebby set the framework for a sponsor, right, at that point. Faith without works was dead, and I'm not wanting to die in this disease. I'll die then someday, right? None of us is getting out of here alive, but I want to live. And yeah, okay, I have this disease, but I want to live. I want to live to the fullest. And once I started sponsoring others and just doing it anyway, and yes, my sponsor was still available to me to talk about sponsoring, and I am still available to my recovered sponsees for that same reason. That's mainly what we talk about. But because I did it, and as I did it, I was in the book, and I am in the book, reading again and again, and it's just incredible how it strengthens my program. For anything I give, I receive 100-fold. For every time I lose a little sleep, or I don't get to watch that show, or I'm just a little cranky and I don't feel like it, but I do it anyway, and it's sponsoring, it's carrying a message with newcomers, it's picking up the phone when people call, or making outreach calls. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to mute. Could you mute? There we go. Anytime I give and I do, I receive so much more. I receive so much more. And it's the only way I can survive the lows that come, the storms of life. And they're going to be. Someone keeps unmuting yourself and it's making the line cluttered, just so you know. Anyway, I am incredibly grateful for this program and getting to sponsor. Now I love it. It's an amazing thing. And this is just, this way of life is unmatched. And I am so glad to be here with all of you. I'm looking forward to hearing others. Thank you.
Thank you, Chanel T. And sorry about those interruptions there. Natalie S., please share with us. Star one, Natalie.
There we go. Thank you so much. So this is Natalie S. I always forget to, I assume you're all friends, so you know me, and I forget. So I consider you all friends, but I'm in Arizona, and I'm on Pacific time, and I'm really grateful to hear everybody's perspective on this. And as an addict or a recovering addict, you know, I go to extremes, and I think that's the way, in some ways, that God my higher power works with me. And here's what I mean by that. So the main part of service and sponsoring and all that for me is about a shift in my perspective. I have to stop looking at my own navel in my belly button, looking down at myself, feeling sorry for myself, and I have to look up. And I have to see not only my higher power, but if I look up, then I see others too. And with that shift in perspective, if I don't do that, if I stay looking at myself, my experience has been one where I literally could die. So I'm 55 years old, and my addiction is primarily expressed through restriction and overexercise. And in the last 5 years, I've ridden, I haven't figured out the exact number, but about 20 to 25 miles every day, 364 days a year for 5 years. So if somebody's good at math, you can let me know. And what that did is that totally destroyed my body with some stress in my life that also hit. And I was working the program at this time, but, you know, I had surrendered it to God. My sponsor knew. And yet God said, you're still too focused on yourself. And so I was not literally, I was walking like an 80-year-old with my my deceased father's cane and walker. And I felt so demoralized. And I remembered when my dad, before he passed away, 8 years prior to that, fully healthy man, God struck him differently. He slipped, he fell, he was immediately paralyzed. And I think of that often because I think my choice in this program is either to get out of myself and to be grateful that I am able to do it. And I'm not perfect at it. Trust me, I get irritated. I want to go to bed. I get tired. I want to do my thing. But I can be struck like my dad, or I can be grateful that I was stricken as I was, and now I'm experiencing recovery. And what God shows me, if I stay connected to Him and to you and to this program and this way of life, I can hold on loosely, and that's what He wants. Like, I don't want you to not enjoy moving. I want you to put me as the priority, my work with others and for others as a priority, and all the rest will come back. And that's been my experience. Have I ridden 20 miles in the last month and a half? No. But, you know, I took a walk for 10 or 15 minutes yesterday out in nature.
Time.
Thank you. It was beautiful. So hold on loosely, my friends, and God will do wonderful things in your life. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Ah, thank you. Natalie S. from Arizona. Deborah G., we have about a 45-second share, if you'd like to take it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dawn, so much for your service today, everyone's service at this meeting. Welcome to all the newcomers. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and I just wanted to say that I am so selfish, self-centered, and I didn't know it because I was in the food. But when I got the recovery, when I got the healing, when I got the transformation that I needed, I got awoken to that, and now I know what I need to do, and that's be of service to you, to God and my fellows. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. And Jordan, I'm sorry, please come back tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. And we're now going to close the meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared. We're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Dawn. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.